the UCR Podcast.
It's the eve of Sammy Hagar's birthday as I'm talking to you here, and the Red Rocker has already been celebrating for several days now at the Cabo Wabo with some epic chapters being added to his annual birthday bash concerts. Folks like Dean Castronovo of Journey, Jerry Cantrell of Alice in Chains, Belinda Carlisle of the Go-Go's, Phil X from Bon Jovi, and yeah, his buddy Michael Anthony is there too. Sammy also has a brand new live album out recorded at his residency in Las Vegas earlier this year with the Best of All Worlds band, featuring Joe Satriani, Michael Anthony, that guy again, Kenny Aronoff, and Ray Thistlethwaite. You can get that on vinyl, CD, and digital. A little heads up for you all. We're going to have the chance for you to win some autographed swag from the Red Rocker at the UCR website, so keep your ears peeled for that. Sammy's going to be back in Vegas early next year for another installment of his residency concert. So today, we got with Sam to discuss his experience so far with those shows he's been playing, plus some specific classic songs that fans can hear on this new album and the stories that go along with them, and we dig into what he's got up his sleeve as far as new music. It's never a dull moment when you're talking to Sammy Hagar, and if you're a fellow fan, I think you'll enjoy this conversation. The time always goes by much too quickly, but you can keep up to date with all things Sammy at redrocker.com. It's Matt Wardlaw. Thanks for being here with us on the UCR Podcast. Do not forget, we've got plenty of musical options for you to have delivered straight to your house, including stuff from Sammy, Van Hagar, and lots more. Store.ultimateclassicrock.com is the place, and you can use my discount code WARDLAW15, that is WARDLAW15, WARDLAW15, to get 15% off of your order. Now, here is our latest conversation with Sammy Hagar. Enjoy. Before we fully dive into this new live album and the second round of the residency for 2026, which we're all very excited about, I got to ask you, man, about a picture that's been making the rounds recently. You, Tommy Lee, Chad Kroeger. What are you guys up to?
That's so crazy. It's like Chad wrote a great song. I mean, a great song. And he claims he wrote it. He doesn't claim. He called me and said, dude, you know what a fan I am. I've been listening to you my whole life. And you've been such an inspiration. You always write these really upbeat songs and, you know, about making people feel good and giving them encouragement, you know, like dreams and all this stuff. And he goes, so I tried to write a song like thinking, channeling you. And he goes, and then I used AI and took my voice and made it your voice. And the way you sang it compared to the way I was singing it, he's going, dude, I want you to sing on the song. And I go, of course, I'll sing on your song. So I go in, and Tommy Lee, you know, was going to play a little drum part on there too, because he decided he wanted to get some other people and do this event. But I don't want to give too much away, because this is Chad's thing. This is Nickelback's thing. I love that band, by the way. He's one of the great songwriters on the planet right now, great rock songwriter. So Tommy pulls up, and I was leaving, and I just walked up to him, and we just... You know, I love Tommy. We've been friends for years and years and years. And I just said to somebody, hey, are you rolling tape? He said, yeah. And I said, and I just said that. You know, it wasn't premeditated. And Chad and I have been laughing about it ever since, because whenever you put up an Instagram post that has no premeditated thought to it, and it's interesting enough, it blows up. And it blew up. You know, it's getting like 3 million views and stuff, and it was just meant to be a quick little silly thing. And honestly, I was being honest, we don't know what we're doing, right? We who knows what the, who knows if it'll even come out. We just went to the studio and just recorded a song.
I mean it's like you and Alice Cooper and Steve and Tyler all hanging out in Hawaii. Like, you put something up like that on socials, or in this case Chad Kroeger, Tommy Lee, people are going to talk, right?
Yeah, that's a pretty oddball combination right there. You know, I mean, it's not your typical. So, you know, yeah, what are you guys doing together? I don't know. You tell me. I don't know what we're doing together. We just happen to be together, you know. Tommy always brings a little edge to anything. You know, whenever he's involved in something, there's always, you get a little controversy, so it widens it out, you know.
No, for sure. For sure, man. Well, the first round of dates you did earlier this year in Vegas were just so much fun. And folks should know that you're going to be back there next March and then September. Obviously, you had this idea that you would be more show ready if you weren't traveling. And we saw that part played out so well. Like, what else were you really happy about with these shows? Like, what was perhaps the unexpected takeaway for you?
There was no unexpected, except for it was even better than I thought. You know, if there was anything I was expecting it to be better, and I knew that we weren't going to have to travel. I knew I'd feel rested, and I thought, oh, I'm going to be able to sing good every night. We're going to be able to change the setup. So we did all that. You know, every night we've had three or four different songs in the set at least, and it was, in the end, it was even better than I thought. It was so much better that I don't really want to go on tour. I don't even want to say that because I would never announce a retirement. I would never, ever do a farewell tour. Sammy Hagar, that would be me. You're never going to hear those words out of my mouth. This is going to be a farewell tour. There's no such thing in my life. I don't play golf. So to me, this is kind of my say, are you retiring? Yeah, I'm retiring in Las Vegas for now. You know, I'm going to do shows there because it's so much easier on my voice, on my body, on just, God, I just can't tell you. I mean, any band at my age, any classic rock band that's been doing it as long as I have, you do, if you go there once, you'll go there twice, like we're doing. We're gonna go back and we're going to go there three times. I think it extends my life in this business and in what I do. I love to play music and I love to perform, but I hate to travel and pack and unpack and you know, the bad meals, the bad hotel rooms, the bad air conditioning, the bad heating systems, you know, the bad food. Even in your best hotels, sometimes you don't even get a chance. You order room service and it doesn't get there, and all of a sudden you're leaving for the show. Now you're backstage eating potato chips and drinking, you know, sodas, trying to get enough energy to go out and do a show. It, you know, that's not good for the fan. I think the fans are the ones that should like the residency better than anyone, you know. Once you get past the Las Vegas prices, which I must admit are brutal, even my own, if I go into my own, to the Cabo Wabo, and I got to pay $18 for a drink, I'm going, whoa, man, put me in a hospital here, man, put me in a broke house. So it's expensive, but other than that, if you're like a rock and roll show, you're going to see a band, your favorite band, at one of these shows, like a residency, not just another stop in Las Vegas, no, a residency where you're there for a week or two, and you're going to see the best. You're going to see the best shows you're going to see out of that, your favorite band, in my opinion.
This live record, like the shows themselves, is such a grab bag of so many cool things for fans of your solo career, Van Halen, and so on. And I want to talk about some of the songs, you know, on this thing. This thing, it was recorded in Vegas earlier this year, so it's effectively hot off the presses, couldn't get much hotter. And I know for a lot of folks, Sammy, like, Humans Being is one of the underrated songs in the Van Halen catalog. And now that you've been playing it live and with nearly 30 years of distance, like, what do you love about that song now?
Oh, man, it's just heavy. You know, I'm a white light guy. You know, I love heavy stuff. Like, I love Tool. You know, Tool is just one of my favorite bands in the world. And Maynard's my buddy, and we talk about it. We're like the odd couple, man. It's like, you know, but I just appreciate people being able to bring that kind of energy and that heaviness. And Humans Being is about as close as that, and Don't Tell Me What Love Can Do. Those two songs are about as close as any songs I've ever written. You know, Eddie and I wrote those songs, and Eddie was coming from a pretty dark place, and I just joined in. And, yeah. You know, originally, Humans Being was calling it Drop. And it's about when a tornado drops, you know, when it, like, you'll see the tornado and then there's a terminology, it dropped, oh God, you know, run for your life now, you know. So I even had a darkness into it before I got with the director, and now start saying, oh, let's make it, you know, a little more modern melodically, because I was singing it. And then, you know, Ed wanted to just be to yell into the microphone. So I said, you want to hear me yell? They're just... You know, it came out cool. I must admit, I sat and wrote those lyrics on the hood of my car. I drove my car there that day, and I had my old lyrics. Bruce Fairbairn, the late great producer, who was really the guy who, wasn't for him, we'd have never finished anything in the end with Van Halen. But he, yeah. He was, you know, saying, yeah, well, you know, I said, no, I can do this. I can make up words to sump to that kind of a, without a melody and having to rhyme or anything. I can just go bam, 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 bam. I can spew out a bunch of stuff. So I went out and sat on the hood of my car to get away from everybody in the studio yelling and making noise. I walked in and that was like one friggin' take. I just read them right off the paper. And yeah, I liked the way it came out. So now when I'm singing it, you know, I really appreciate the attitude. And I never liked, I'm going to go out on a limb about this song. If you listen to the live record version from the residency, there's the counter vocal part that Mikey used to do live is not on there. It's just me singing straight up.
Yeah.
Well, when I left the studio after I finished that stuff, Ed and I, none of us were getting along at that time. Ed went in and sang all these counterparts, you know. He repeated some of my lyrics. He would say, you know, there is just, you know, he was doing almost like what a rapper would do, how you get two rappers and they kind of, you know, they mimic each other and they bounce off each other. He kind of put that on there. And I never liked it. I thought, oh my God, this is not really cool. I don't like what it does for the song because it's rhythmically, the song is so heavy and in the pocket. And this is makes it an offbeat kind of thing. And I never liked it. So when it got mixed, they didn't put Mikey's, who does Ed's part live, they didn't put his vocals in there. And I said, what's going on here? Why didn't you put Mikey's vocal in? And the Chris Lord-Alge, the mixer, said, the producer mixer, he goes, I didn't like it. He goes, it was way off. It just didn't sound good. I said, right on. Leave it out. And so I think it's pretty interesting. I made this song now more of my own, the way I would have done it. And I think it just sounds so much better. You can hear the lyrics. They're crystal clear now on it. And the groove is so hard and heavy in the pocket. So I'm the happiest with that song. That song will stay in the set, I'll tell you right now. That song's fun to play. I mean, it is so much fun to sing like that, you know.
You talk about songs that are historically in the set list, and one of those for you has always been Rock Candy. I think there's been maybe one tour where I saw you take it out, and the fans, they cried out. It came back. What do you think it is about that song that endures the way it does?
It's so timeless. You know, it's like a journalist wrote a thing about me a few years ago, and he said, this guy, when your first entrance into the rock scene is a song like Rock Candy, Hard, Sweet, and Sticky, he's going, you got a career, young man. And I thought it was funny that he, you know, at this stage of my life, this guy reached back to that still as being like iconic. You know, that drum sound, it was done at Sunset Sound, where Led Zeppelin also came in there, and they heard that sound. They wanted it. The first band to use it was Little Feat on Cold, 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 and then Montrose on Rock Candy, and then Led Zeppelin came in and recorded some drum stuff there. It's an iconic sound. I mean, it's like you can't get that sound just anywhere. So I think that's a big part of it. The riff is just clean and simple. And I was a young man, 23 years old, wanting the world to hear me. And when I start that, oh yeah, in the beginning, it's like, whew, okay, somebody here means business, man. And so I think it's just iconic, but it's so funny. We only played that song one night of the 9 shows. So there you go.
Yeah, there was some cool variety. And I mean, you mentioned Little Feat. Like, you're a music fan. I think that's what people love about you. You drop a Little Feat mention there. Of course, you know, with Van Halen, you covered Apolitical Blues. Yeah. You know, and it's like you are buddies with Bob Weir. If we look at this residency opening night, Ain't Talk About Love, you bring out Kesha to jam with you guys. Like, she's one of the rabble rousers on today's scene. And I think similar to you, like, she's not afraid to make some headlines and speak her mind and tell her truth. And it was so cool to see you bring her out.
She became a buddy, you know, last year in Maui for New Year's Eve, Christmas time. She was over there staying with the Coopers, you know, Alice and his family. She's good friends with Alice's daughter. And, Calico. So they were hanging out, and I go, oh man, my daughter who lives in Maui now, Kema, is a huge Kesha fan. She turned me on to Kesha years ago, and I thought, oh yeah, she's pretty cool, you know, she's a party girl, you know, and she likes to throw a good party. And so she was there, and they said, hey, you want to come over and hang out with Kesha? I said, yeah, I'll bring my daughter over and my wife, and we went over, and Kesha and I hooked up, man. We became best buddies. The next day, we're hanging out together. The next night, we're going to dinner. She's going to dinner with my family. And then she's, you know, she's coming over to our place and hanging out and picking my brain. And, I know it sounds kind of crazy, but, you know, she says, like, I'm like the dad she didn't have. And then Alice and I are her daddy, both her daddies. And I'm going, that's a hell of a responsibility, Kesha. But, you know, if you need a father figure, you know, I'll be there for you. And it's kind of the way we've been ever since. She comes, sees my shows. She's calls, we text, and we talk all the time. She's got a problem. She's got a question about what should I do. She calls me, and I feel honored because she's so damn talented. Kesha is an entertainer, man. She, when she hits that stage, brother, all eyes on deck, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I love her to death. She's awesome. And she wanted to come out and do something. I said, what do you know? She says, nothing. She's looking at my set list. So I'm going, how about, hey, can you do that? And we went out and danced and screamed and yelled, and she had the time. We had the time of our lives.
That's fantastic. And, you know, I mean, like, I ain't talking about love. That's something that would be in the Van Halen set list back when, you know, you were in the band. And, you know, more recently, it's been cool to see how you guys will pull out stuff from Dave's era. Things like Somebody Get Me a Doctor, Running with the Devil with Michael. Like, it was a whole different trip, as you might say. But what do you kind of appreciate about that music now? I mean, just the intro alone for Running with the Devil is pretty iconic.
Well, it's like rock candy to me. It just has it. Like anybody can play it. It's one of those cover songs. You know, if I'm going to do a cover song, I like to do, you know, a Led Zeppelin song or a Rolling Stone song that's iconic, you know, a Honky Tonk Woman or, you know, or Led Zeppelin's Rock and Roll, A Whole Lot of Love. You kick those songs off anywhere, anytime, any place, any amount of people, any place in the world, and everybody is happy. Well, I got to tell you, to me, Panama's my favorite. You know, that's the one I want to sing. Like, I don't let Mikey sing Panama because I like singing it. It's really a fun song to play and sing. It's badass. And so, you know, we add those songs to the set because we're doing a lot of Van Halen stuff. And unlike the other guys that didn't want to play my era or can't play my era, I like playing those songs. And I can play and sing those songs. And I think everyone appreciates them. So, you know, Mikey sings most of the time when we play an old song. I like to get Mikey to sing lead because he sings freaking great. And people always just hear his background vocals. He's becoming a really good lead vocalist. Early on, he wasn't because he was always used to singing background. So when you sing background, you have to sing very sterile. You have to sing the note and you can't put any inflection on it or nothing. That's the lead singer's job. So the harmony guy has to sing very straight and very on key and just nail the note and then hold the note and very little movement. So when he would sing lead, it was a little stiff like that, but not anymore. He's in the last couple of years, man. Mike's come around. I'm listening to him sing Ain't Talking About Love. In my opinion, it sounds as good as it sounded for 20 years with him singing, you know.
One of the things that you guys played during the residency is you did Love Walks In, first time since 1993. And that song and Dreams, like, those are such special songs to the fans. Like, it must have been a real trip for you going back to that song.
It was hard. Here's a good example of the difference between touring and doing the residency. When we did the tour, the 2033 city tour of the Best of All Worlds tour, when we first did that, I couldn't get that song in the set. I couldn't sing it. I tried and I tried. We tried putting in a different key. We tried just me and a piano. We tried the whole, it just didn't work for me because I'm out there singing every night on the road, you know, and that is a very difficult song. The first notes in that song are half step. That alone. That's very hard to sing. To get a pitch, you got to really be in a position where you're hearing everything just perfect. Otherwise, you're going to be off key on that. You're going to come in off key. The first note is going to be off key because it's a half step, and those are difficult for singers. So anyway, we dialed that in, and it was in every night in the residency, and one of the highlights, we ended the friggin' show with it. That's how excellent, you know, of a song that is. I was so happy to get that back in the set. Yeah, there's a good example of what you can do in the Dreams. I don't think I'm going to bite that one off, but you know what? This next residency, that's the only unsung song. I haven't sung that other than the acoustic version, which is like almost like a poetry and speaking when Vic and I do that. But to sing it in the key and with the arrangement of the record, the original, I don't think anyone could sing that friggin' song. But I might try on this next residency because that is probably the most requested song of the Van Hagar era from the fans. Yeah. Dreams, 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 dreams. I'm going, you sing it. I don't want to butcher it.
Yeah, I think you know the love that people have for the 5150 album just in general. And it's probably been good for you to see the love that your era of the band is beginning with the reissues. You know, folks should know that there's the reissue of Balance that's out there at present. One thing that's interesting, Sammy, is that when this was announced back in June, as far as the Balance reissue, the press release said, this concludes Rhino's spotlight on the band's classic albums from the Hagar era. So, of course, fans are wondering, like, what does that mean as far as expanded editions for 5150 or for OUI-12?
Oh, no, we already did that, didn't we? I mean, we did a box set. Everything's been
remastered.
There was
remastered. A box set. Yeah, but no real, like, extra tracks.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what. There weren't any extra tracks back in the old days. We went in. When I joined the band, we were so anxious to get on the road on the 5150 record. We just recorded that many songs and said, boom, we're done, out of here, and we're going on the road. And when we went out on the road, we sold out every freaking venue in America before we even did our first show. And guess what? The album hadn't even come out yet. We played our first concert in Shreveport, Louisiana, without the album being out yet. We only had the single, Why Can't This Be Love? And I was probably more nervous that night than I've ever been on stage, except for maybe the first big show with Montrose when I didn't have any experience. But to walk out with Van Halen, no one had heard the record yet, only heard one song, and to walk out there and we say, we're not going to play any of the old Roth era, and I'm going, this is dangerous. This could turn into, you know, something horrible. I mean, we were all nervous, but I was especially nervous. They had all the pressure's on me, you know? It's like, you know, Eddie could do no harm. He's up there playing his own stuff, you know, and I'm up there like, I'm singing stuff you never heard. But anyway, long story short, we walked down, and they tore the barricade down, and the nerves went out the window, and we probably did the most high-energy show we've ever done in our lives. We probably had a 2.5-hour show back then, and I bet it was less than 2 hours since we played everything so fast.
Well, here's where I'm going to leave it, Sammy, and that just is, folks heard new music from you this year. Encore, thank you, good night. Is there further new music on your mind as we look towards 2026?
You know, I do have some new songs I've written. I don't know why I'm not motivated to say, block out the time and go do a new record. I'm just not motivated to do that, and I would never do it for business reasons. So I got to wait until I'm totally motivated, but I finished about 3 songs just by out of the ether they came, and I'm in love with one of them so much that I'm it makes me want, it's starting to motivate me to write more songs so I can make a new record so people can hear this one song called Addicted. And I don't know why I'm even telling you that title, because you may not hear it for a year, but I love making music. It just that every time I make music, then all the stuff I have to do around it, and take the photos and make the video, and okay this, okay that, okay the mix, change this, change that. It takes so much of my time. I'm going, you know, I want to spend more time on the beach and more time on stage, you know, on the beach with my family and on stage with my band. That's about all I really need anymore, you know. That's a beautiful life. So Vegas is going to be great. I just want to tell everybody we're going to put more songs in the set. You know, I've got about 500 songs to choose from, so we might pull, you know, a little more Chickenfoot and a little more Montrose. We kind of skipped those. You know, they came in and out once or twice during the residency, but I think that's a real important era. Chickenfoot is one of my favorite bands on the planet that I've ever been in. And got Joe, I got Mike, and I got Kenny. So we are Chickenfoot too, you know, or three, that is. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm really excited. I'm happy. And we're doing this for a reason. A good one.
Fantastic. Thank you always, man, for the music. We love you. We've reached the end of another episode of the UCR Podcast. It is Matt Wardlaw. We appreciate you listening. If you enjoy what you're hearing, please rate and review wherever you are listening and hit subscribe so that you'll receive future episodes of the podcast from Ultimate Classic Rock.